Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a deep question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to the Your Living Brand Live Show. This is Ben Baker coming to you. I am excited this week. This week, I have Cody Bateman from Send Out Cards on my show. Cody is the president and CEO of the company. And you know what? It is an amazing organization. For anybody who hasn't taken a look at Send Out Cards, it's an incredible thing because think about it. Think about the last time somebody actually sent you a card and how you felt. Think about how that made you feel, whether it was a Christmas card, whether it was a birthday card, whether somebody just popped something in the mail to say thank you. And the feeling that you got when you got that card. Well, that's what Cody's all about. So, Cody, welcome to the show. Thanks for being a guest today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm honored. I love what you're doing, Ben, and I'm just glad to be a part of this show today. So whatever I can do to help, I'm here.
Well, that's great. Let's start off with Send Out Cards because there's a lot of things I want to dig into, but let's start from the beginning. Start about what was the impetus of starting Send Out Cards? What is it as an organization and what makes it so special?
Well, it all started with a very personal story. It started with a great loss that we had in our family, and which became my why. And I like to quickly share that story. Way back in the day, I graduated from college and got offered a job to work in New York City. I was in Utah and got offered a job work in New York City. I was newly married at the time, had a little baby girl. And we accepted the offer and we gathered all of our belongings, threw it in a U-Haul truck, went over to mom and dad's house to say goodbye to the family. We said our goodbyes. We went to get in our car. U-Haul truck was being driven by somebody else behind us. We went to leave. And as I went to get in the car, I saw my older brother, Chris, was moving some vehicles around in a lot adjacent to my parents' home. And at that moment, this was in 1989. At that moment that I saw my brother over there, I had what I call a prompting, a thought, an intuitive thought that I needed to go over to my brother, give him a hug, tell him I love him, say goodbye. And we were moving away. But I remember we were in a hurry and I ignored the prompting. We got in the car and we drove away. I remember honking and waving at my brother. His name was Chris. He waved back at me and we drove off and all the way across the country, moved into our new home in New Jersey. And about 3 months went by, everything was going great until I got a phone call in the middle of the night. My mother on the other side of the phone tearfully let me know my brother Chris had just been killed in an industrial accident. He was 29 years old. He had 3 children, ages 7, 4, 2. So when I got the news that night that my brother had passed away, the only thing I could think of was this prompting I had to say bye to him, and I ignored it. So I made a promise to him that night. I made a promise to my brother Chris that when I had a prompting to reach out in kindness to somebody, I would act. And I would do all I could to help as many people as I could do the same. And that's where the idea, or the why, if you will, came to start a company like you see in Send Out Cards today. Send Out Cards is a way for people to act on their promptings, to reach out in kindness to other people. And that is the story. And we've shared that story ever since. It's an important message. I've been on a journey for 30 plus years now to really learn what promptings are. And promptings will guide you in your life. They'll guide you in your personal life, in your business. And if you act on your promptings, great things will happen in your life. And we just simply have a tool to help you do it.
First of all, I'm sorry for your loss, but it's so important to understand our why. It's so important to sit there and say, we do this because. And it doesn't matter what it is in our lives. It's understanding, why do we do something? And there's a reason. There's always something that's going to good that can come out of even the worst of situations. And be able to sit there and say, because of this, we do this. And be able to inspire people based on that why. And get people to understand that, you know what, we're not just in this to make money. We're not just in this to send out cards. we're in this, as you said, the prompting. It's building those relationships. And that's what I really want to get into is your whole philosophy of relationship marketing, because that's what that prompting is. It's building connections one at a time. And I want to talk to you about what does relationship marketing mean to you, and how has it helped you build an organization where millions and millions of cards have been sent and have probably changed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lives because of it. And what that means to you, what that means to the organization, and what does that mean to the people that you have supported over all these years?
Well, I recently launched this book, Power of Human Connection, How Relationship Marketing is Transforming the Way People Succeed. And I talk in here, as well as in all my speeches, about the subject of relationship marketing. There's two words there. There's two words. And there's a reason that relationship's the first word. It's not marketing relationship. It's relationship marketing. Relationship is what it's about. The challenge that most people have in the business world is they immediately focus on the second word, which is marketing. Most people focus on what, if I implement this thing, whatever it is, what will I get from it? That's what most people, that's how we're wired to think. Relationship marketing is exactly the opposite. We implement this, and the way to make it work is 100% focus has to be, what can I give with this? Not what can I get from it, what can I give with this? So relationship marketing is all about the first word, not the second. It's about creating genuine connection, relationship with other human beings, not only in your business life, but in your personal life. I am of the belief that we're all in this game called life together, and at the end of the day, we're all just human beings. Our occupation is nothing more than a tool to make connection with other human beings, period. And I think that the society has that backwards. You hear people say all the time, well, you know, you shouldn't do business with your friends, or you shouldn't make your customers your friends, or you should, nonsense. I don't believe that, not for a second. I don't believe you should draw any of those lines. We're human beings, you know, and this has to do with race. It has to do with religion. It has to do with business. It has to do with everything. Mm-hmm. We are human beings. We're all part of the same family. We all bleed red. We all have a desire to love and be loved. We all want to just make a difference and help people because it makes us feel good. That's it. Your occupation is a way for you to make connection with other human beings. That's what it is. And if you can get that mindset, you'll become a lot better at your occupation. That, to me, is what relationship marketing is.
I love that, because you're right. In the end, we're all humans. In the end, we all need to understand that at the end of the day, we all have wants, needs, fears, desires, love, hate within us. The more we can understand the other person, the other end of the phone or the other end of the conversation or the other end of the world, the better off this world is going to be. The more we divide each other, the more we go us versus them, millennial versus Gen X versus whatever within the workplace, the more of a disadvantage we're putting ourselves in. The more we can sit there and say, you know what, we all want to be listened to. We all want to be understood. We all want to be valued. Life is so much better. And I love that you said that. And I was looking at your book and I was looking at it. And I love the fact that Ivan Meisner, the founder of BNI, Business Networking International, wrote your foreword on that. Because Ivan is all about giver's gain. And, you know, as someone who's been loosely associated with BNI for over 20 years, you know, I've lots of friends that have been through organizations. I've been, you know, to a number of meetings. I've been part of a couple chapters. It's all about relationships. It's all about trust, because if you know, like, and trust people, real business happens. And it happens because you like each other as human beings first, and you trust each other first, and the money comes. You know, the money is a byproduct. It's these conversations that we have are the most important thing. So tell me about the send out card system. How does it physically work, and how has it changed? Because you've been doing this for a long time now, and how has the technology changed to be able to enable you to provide what you provide even a more meaningful way? Because technology and the card system and being able to print on demand 15 years ago compared to where it is today allows you to do things that you never could have dreamed of 15, 20 years ago.
You know, it's funny. I used to joke, and I've been doing these speeches for 15, 16 years now on the subject. And we used to joke back in the early days, hey, if you want to send a card to somebody, what do you have to do? And 15 years ago, people would say, well, you have to drive to the store, go down the aisle, pick out a card, go to the post office, pick out a stamp, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you got to do all this stuff. And most people don't do that because it's just too big of a hassle to do it. But then back in that day, 2003, 4, and 5, I created a system where you could actually go on your computer. And at the time, it was those big computers, right? The big, huge things that you'd get on there, and you could access our system on the internet and be able to build a card, type a message, and have it sent over the internet to our digital printers. Back in 2003, 4, and 5, I mean, that was kind of unheard of. Like, we had to educate people on how that worked. People didn't get it. We had to educate it. Well, now, today, that conversation has completely changed. Today, I'll say, do you remember the day when you actually had to wait until you could go back home or to your office to get on a computer to send a card to somebody? Do you remember those days? But what a pain in the butt that was that you had to do that. Well, now, if I have a prompting and I'm driving down the road and I need to send a card to somebody, I just pull off the side of the road, pull out my smartphone, and I sent him a card. And heck, I don't even need to type it. I can voice it in. Hey, Dave, thanks for having me. Or hey, Ben, thanks for having me on the show today. Had a great time. Love what you're doing. Appreciate everything. Your friend Cody. Click the send button and boom, it's gone. And I take off in the car and drive again. That's the evolution, if you will, of technology. And let me tell you, we're already working on the future. I mean, we're working on, I mean, think about Siri. Hey, Siri, tell me this. That's technology we're working on now, where you'll just wherever you're at, you can just voice it and it'll build the card for you. So we're already working on that kind of technology. Technology changing things very rapidly. In fact, our programmers, everything we develop and launch has about an 18-month shelf life today. It's only good for 18 months, and you already got to be working on the next piece to come out later. That's how fast technology changes. So yeah, it's an exciting part of what we do.
Well, I remember one of my good friends, Janice Porter, who's one of your distributors, we were having lunch and we were having a conversation. All of a sudden, she's had somebody just grab her cell phone and hit a snip and have a selfie. And the two of us had a picture together. And 2 days or 3 days later, there was a card in the mail. You know, thank you for lunch. We had a really good time. This is what we talked about. And that actual picture was part of the thing. So the ability, as you said, to reach out and touch people in a meaningful way, where and when it's convenient, in a way that's meaningful. I mean, that card is still sitting in my office, and we're talking months later, and it's just sitting there reminding me of, you know what, next time I need something or I want to refer somebody, I refer them to Janice. If somebody I know needs LinkedIn training, Janice is the person I send them to. And it's all about relationships. It's about creating those connections. And the amazing thing is that you're right, that your technology allows you to do that. I remember when I first started off at direct mail 25 years ago, and we started doing variable prints, all you could do is change somebody's name and maybe their phone number, their address, but you would choke up printers because you couldn't control the data. There was just not enough bandwidth to run the data, but those days are gone. It's amazing. When I was talking about megabytes, now people are talking about terabytes. It's amazing what can happen and how you can build a system that allows you to be able to meaningful reach out anywhere in the world and send somebody a card to say, thank you. And it could be just thank you for lunch or thank you for being you, or I heard you were having a bad day. And those meaningful things, yeah, you can send somebody an email. Yeah, you can send somebody a text, but actually physically getting that card in the mail means so much more because somebody actually made a bit of an effort to do it. You know, and there's that physicality and that piece that's tangible, that's in your hand, that people will keep and treasure far more than that email that they just read once and say, hit reply, say thank you and delete and forget about. I love what you guys are doing.
I think the key word you said there is tangible. I mean, I'm going to I can just look around my desk here. I've got cards everywhere, real tangible greeting cards people sent me. So several weeks ago, there was a boss's day. Heck, I didn't know there was a boss's day. So I get this card from all the employees here at Send Out Cards, Happy Bosses Day. What did they do? They put a picture on the front, me. So I'm going to see this. Here's what's funny. This is funny. Everybody claims, oh, I hate seeing pictures of myself. Nonsense. Nobody hates seeing a picture of themselves.
We love it.
It's funny that we have to say this because it wasn't that long ago, but you remember the day when you had not even Polaroids, you just had your pictures printed and you went down to the store and picked up your pictures. And you had these stacks of pictures and you would go home and sit down at your kitchen table with your family and you'd open up the pictures and you start thumbing through the pictures and everybody in the family gathers around. What are they looking for?
They're looking for pictures of themselves.
They're looking for pictures of themselves. And if they say they're not, they're lying. It's just human nature. You look for a picture of you. It's just the way it is. I don't know why it's that way, but it is that way. So when you see a picture of you, I pay attention. And look at this. You open up on the inside and everybody signed it on the inside or super nice message going out to me. So, I mean, it's the tangible aspect of what we're doing, I think, is imperative in today's day and age because we live in a digital world now. You know, everything's email communications. Everything's done off a CRM. It's all automated. And people accept the fact that they're getting their communication done via digital means and it doesn't cost very much. Well, okay, well, that's great, but you're also getting lost in the clutter of digital communications. And this is a way to separate yourself from that. It's crucial. It's just as crucial as relationship marketing is in general. You know, relationship marketing today, you better be focusing on creating relationships today because people already know about your business. They already know about you. They've already Googled you. They've already Yelped you. They've already done all this stuff. Not only do they know about you and what you've offered, they know what your customers are saying about you, good and bad. So they know it all before you even talk to them. So the business interaction is becoming more and more and more reliant upon relationship than it's ever been in the history of time. That's how important relationship marketing is.
Well, it's how you differentiate yourself. If you have two companies that you deal with and one where you feel that you're getting human interaction, that people are actually listening to you, that they care about you, they empathize with you, they want to know about what your real problem is. And the other one, you can't even find a phone number on their website or your email that you send them never gets responded to or the text or whatever. Which is the one you really want to deal with? Which is the one where there's actually some type of a human connection, where there's somebody on the other end that actually cares about you, or somewhere where you're just a number and a Visa card? You can buy anywhere. You can buy things anywhere. I mean, Amazon has proven that. 50% of all online sales are done through Amazon.
It's unreal.
But here's the thing. What makes Amazon amazing is that there are actually human beings that respond. If there's a problem, there are people that will sit there and help you take care of it. And if it wasn't, I don't believe that the organization would have gotten as big as fast as it is. Because they're big, they're going to have problems, they're going to have challenges. Every company does. Every company makes mistakes. Every company fouls up. It's when you have human beings that can sit there and say, you know what? We made a mistake. We're sorry. How can we help you fix this?
Well, the interesting thing about Amazon is they kind of tackle it from both angles. They tackle it from a technology angle as well as a human connection angle.
Absolutely.
They have two approaches. The first approach, in fact, I just saw a quote from Jeff Bezos, you know, the CEO and founder of Amazon, just yesterday. I actually saw this quote yesterday. He said, the best form of customer service is your customer never happening to call you. Man, that hit me strong. It was like, wow. So then I started thinking about the Amazon experience. They've made the Amazon experience so positive and so easy and so simple. Very rarely do you ever have to call them about anything. It's like you click it and it works. And the next day, the stuff comes up. It's just amazing. And that is truly the best form of customer service. However, the other side of Amazon is if there are issues, they take care of their customers and the customers ride and they go above and beyond to make sure that you're taken care of and return policies and all the stuff they do. So they hit it from both angles very well. It's a great example.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and I want to talk about your days in Baltimore and the McCabe Foundation. Because I think part of what you say, it's the giver's gain, it's the relationship marketing, it all comes down to that. Because the fact that you started a foundation I want to find out why McCabe, because obviously your name is Cody Bateman. It's not McCabe. Why the McCabe Foundation? Why Baltimore? And I want to talk about the things that you're doing there, because I think you're doing some really neat stuff.
So when I was 20 years old, I moved into an all Black neighborhood, African-American neighborhood in Baltimore. Very few white people there. I was one of them. And I remember the first day, I didn't actually live on McCabe Avenue. I lived just across the street from McCabe. But I remember the first day I walked down McCabe Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. Again, all Black neighborhood. And I was the only white kid there. And I was not accepted by people at first until I met this kid named Tony Watson, who instantly took me in and made me part of the neighborhood. And so I lived there for about a year and got to know so many people in the neighborhood, and they took me in. They accepted me. Even though I was a white guy, they accepted me, and I became part of many of the families there. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. It taught me some valuable lessons about what life is. You know, about creating human connection, about being part of one race, the human race. You know, I learned that from my friends on McCabe Avenue. And so and I love their culture. I loved everything about it. We, you know, I was on the street corners doing rap music and hip hop type stuff with those guys. I was dancing in the streets and doing freestyle rap and rhymes and stuff.
I hear you even had your own name. Was it Cody B, the Master MC?
Cody B, the Master MC, yeah. And it was, you know, it was funny because I really soaked it all in, and it was just a great thing. And I just cherish that. So, and that was a long time ago. That was 30 plus years ago now. And now that we are in a place where we can give back, I want to give back to the inner cities throughout the world. Because what I learned on McCabe Avenue, you know, this is a underprivileged neighborhood. It's a low income, underprivileged neighborhood. A lot of these kids don't have the opportunities that many of us do, education wise, learning wise, whatever. They're not exposed. They're in an environment where they're not exposed to some of the positivity that's available in the world. And so the whole idea behind the McCabe Foundation is to give back to those inner cities and create scholarships and create activities and places where people from those inner cities can go and be part of positivity, come to a personal development seminar, learn about positivity, learn about affirmations and I am statements and reading good books and things of that nature, learn about manifestation, use your talents. You know, I met some of the most talented people I've ever known in my life came from McCabe Avenue. Incredibly talented, creative people who never get the opportunity to share their talent with the world because of the environment that they're in. You are unquestionably a product of your environment. And a lot of these kids become a product of that environment. And we just want to give an opportunity where they can get out of the environment and be able to expose their genius to the world. That's what the McCabe Foundation is all about. And we're just so happy to be a part of that and put that together.
I love that because it comes down to your core things that people are people. And the more we can give people not a hand out, but a hand up, life is much better. So tell me about it. There's a new initiative that you guys are doing. There's something with the Lieberman Foundation to build basketball courts.
So several months ago, one of our affiliates introduced me to a lady by the name of Nancy Lieberman. And if you haven't heard of Nancy, you got to look her up on Google. Just Google Nancy Lieberman. You'll be blown away at the accomplishments of this woman. She's had a very distinguished basketball career.
She played in the WNBA, correct?
Played in the WNBA. She was the oldest player in the WNBA. She played at age 39 and then again at age 50. She played in the WNBA. She's been a coach of the women's league. She's been a coach in the NBA. She was one of the first female coaches, assistant coaches for an NBA team. She's a commentator. She's in the Hall of Fame. She was on the first women's Olympic basketball team way back in the day. Her story is phenomenal. And she has a very similar story as mine. And that's why we wanted to make the connection is her story is she was growing up as a young white girl in New York. And she lived in the Bronx. And she loved basketball. And she heard that the greatest basketball pickup games were taking place in Harlem. Well, Harlem's all African-American neighborhood. And she tells a story about how she's 12 years old. She's a girl, 12 years old. She gets on the train, bunch of different trains to get to Harlem, pulls off at Harlem, goes right onto the basketball courts with all these big African-American guys, and she starts playing pickup games with these guys when she was 12 years old. And that's how she learned to be a great basketball player. They didn't accept her at first. Then they accepted her as she continued to show up. So great, great story. And then she started the Nancy Lieberman Foundation, and they do a lot of stuff. But one of the main things they do is they put together these basketball courts, outdoor basketball courts in underprivileged areas around the world. And so it's very similar stories that we had and a very similar vision with what we wanted to do with our charity. So we decided to team up with the Nancy Lieberman Foundation. So McCabe Avenue Foundation is teamed up with Nancy Lieberman. And right now, our sole purpose at McCabe is to raise funds for the Nancy Lieberman Foundation. In fact, we are working right now on putting together the first, it'll be the McCabe Avenue Lieberman basketball court in Baltimore, Maryland. And that hopefully will be next spring that we'll put that in place. And they do all kinds of stuff. They give away basketballs. They work with the metro police departments in these inner cities, and they give out basketballs and backpacks and different stuff. And the police actually go, and they're part of the distribution of this to these kids. It's incredible.
Amazing community building.
Just amazing. And I was so impressed with what they're doing. I was like, look, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I'm just going to tag up and team with these guys and let's go make a difference. And so that's what we're doing.
It's interesting. You said something that just really struck me is people accept you when you keep showing up. You're right. The first time you show up, people may not even recognize you. Second time you show up, okay, they may pay attention to you, but they may not like you or they may not know you. And it's only when people, and it doesn't matter whether it's business or pleasure or whatever, when you keep showing up. And it's not just physically showing up, it's mentally showing up. And I think that that's a great lesson to teach everybody, is that to really dedicate yourself, to be accepted, to excel at anything, you need to keep showing up and you need to dedicate yourself. And people will accept you and people will respect you when they see that you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You are what you say and you say what you do and you keep showing up. And I love that. And I think that it kind of got glossed over in our conversation, but I think that that's a great lesson that just struck me.
Well, and I think it goes even deeper than that. I mean, you know, it's keep showing up, but at the same time, you can pretend to care, but you cannot pretend to show up.
Correct.
Now, that needs to sink in. People really need to think about that thought for a second. People pretend to care all the time, but listen, you cannot pretend to show up. If somebody's in need, if somebody needs help, if somebody needs service rendered, you cannot pretend to show up. If you show up and you're there to help, that is what it is. It doesn't get any more real than that.
Yeah. I mean, there are people that roll up their sleeves, see a problem and get stuff done. And there's people that sit there and say, well, we send our thoughts and our prayers. And thoughts and prayers are wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not the same as sitting there going, you know what? Something needs to change. Something needs to happen. I'm going to do what I can to do that. And I love the fact that as the McCabe Foundation realized that there was somebody out there already doing amazing things, and you sit there going, you know what? I just want to be part of it. I don't need to have my name on everything. It doesn't need to be all about me. I want to see amazing things happen. How do I get to be part of it? And I think that the people that do that, those are the true leaders. I call those people in any way, shape, or form, those are true leaders. People that sit there and say, it's not about me, it's about getting things done. And that's the leadership form that I see in you, in your organization, is that you're a vessel to the people that work for you. That's an amazing thing.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it very much. I see that in you and what you're doing as well. You know, I look at you and I see a humble servant, and we need more humble servants. There's plenty of egocentric servants out there. And I'm not sure that ego and service go together, but there's a lot of that out there. It's unique to find humble servants, and you're one of them. And I just appreciate that about you.
Thank you. I try. I truly do. I mean, we don't always succeed. We're not all perfect. We stumble and we fall. How we pick ourselves up and we move forward, that I think is probably the best part of it. And the people that we associate ourselves with make us better. And the relationships that we form make us better versions of ourselves. So I got one last question for you. Actually, I'm going to ask you two questions, because I got a question for you. It says, talk to you about your love for motorsports. So let's quickly go into that. And then I got one last question for you. Tell me where that comes from.
Well, I grew up, well, again, it's a story. I remember when I was 13, 14 years old, my dad was my hero. And I come from a large family. My dad always did things that his kids were interested in. I always loved motors. I always loved something that made you move. I just thought that was cool. But there was a neighbor up the street. He lived like four or five doors up the street. He was an adult. He was a friend of my dad's who was really, really into motorsports. And this was back in the late 70s. And he was really into, in the wintertime, we live here in Utah. And in the wintertime, he was really into snowmobiles. And he had a double-decker snowmobile trailer. And that was unheard of back in the day. Like there was two decks of snowmobile and he could run eight snowmobiles on those trailers. And I remember when I was 14 years old, this adult, at the time he was probably in his late 30s or whatever, he took me in. He accepted me. I'm this kid. He took me in. He's, you know, had me come to his shop and learn how to work on the machines and how to service the machines, invited me to go snowmobiling with him. And then my dad ended up buying a couple of snowmobiles and we'd go snowmobiling with him. And I watched this guy use these snow machines as a tool to create relationships with people. It caught on for me. I took my love for motorsports and realized that my dad always taught me, because we had the boat, we had the motorcycles, and we had the snowmobiles, and we had all that. My dad used to always say, he'd say this all the time. He'd say, son, these aren't toys. They're tools. That's what my dad taught me. They're not toys. They're tools. They're tools that we use to invite other people to come and participate in an adventure to create connection with them. And I never forgot that. And so that's how it's always been. So I don't buy one snowmobile. I have to buy four or five snowmobiles because I need to take four or five people with me when I go. I learned that when I was a kid. So my motorsports love, same thing with, I don't own one Harley. I own three Harleys because I've got friends that want to ride Harleys and they're experienced at riding bikes, but they don't own one. So, hey, just jump on one of mine. Let's go ride. So, you know, I learned that as an early, you know, at an early age, and it's a great excuse to go buy new toys all the time that are actually tools.
They're tools. It's a lot easier to justify to your wife that it's a tool than it's a toy. So let me ask you what that's, because I've loved this conversation. I have absolutely loved this conversation. One last question that I'm going to let you go. And this is a question I ask everybody as they walk out the door. When you leave a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you and send out cards when you're not in the room?
Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question. I think the main thing is I want people to know that I care. It's that simple. I really want people to know I really do care. I care about people's well-being, about your success, about your goals, where you want to go in life. Nothing brings me more joy than to see the light switch turned on in somebody's eyes, to where they shift from a negative place to a positive place and start to be productive. And if I can be just a teeny, teeny part of that, that's what life's all about to me. I just want people to know I really do care. And, you mentioned earlier, let me tell you, I am far, 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 far from perfect. Like, I'm a ding-dong sometimes. I mean, I make stupid mistakes all the time. And there's times when I offend people I don't mean to. You know, there's times when I come across weird or come across the wrong way. There's times I do stuff maybe that people don't like. But make no mistake, with all of my weaknesses and frailties and all that kind of stuff, I do care. I really do care about people. And I hope that's how I can be remembered.
Well, I think there are far worse things that could be on somebody's tombstone than I care about people. You know, I think that that's an amazing thing. And the more people that can actually care about other human beings and help make this world a better place, I think we're all better off. So, Cody, thank you for being on the show today. Absolutely a pleasure. Enjoyed every minute of it. And I hope this is the start of a really long friendship between you and I, because you're the type of person I really want to hang out with and have these long conversations.
Well, same back to you, my friend. Looking forward to great things that we can do together in the future. And bless you for everything that you're doing. So I'm honored to be on your show today. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been the Your Living Brand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.com and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level, contact us for a free 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you for listening and sharing. And tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?